The Book of Daniel, number 51, Palmoni, unveiling the master of time and language in Daniel and Revelation, key takeaways. In the article, Palmoni, unveiling the master of time and language in Daniel and Revelation, we explore the deep significance of Christ's identity as Palmoni, the numberer of secrets, in Daniel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. This revelation, together with the Book of Revelation's portrayal of Christ as Alpha and Omega, highlights his role as the wonderful linguist and master of time and language. The article delves into the intricate connections between the two visions, emphasizing the importance of understanding both the Chazon and Mara visions. It also provides insights into the prophetic significance of October 22, 1844, and the role of Michael the Archangel in sealing and unsealing God's Word. Palmoni, the numberer of secrets. Christ's identity as Palmoni is revealed in Daniel 8:13-14, marking the central pillar of Adventism. Revelation's Alpha and Omega. The Book of Revelation identifies Christ as Alpha and Omega, emphasizing his role as the wonderful linguist. Master of time and language, Daniel and Revelation together showcase Christ's mastery over time and language in prophetic revelation. The prophetic appearance of 1844. October 22, 1844, represents a crucial prophetic appearance of Christ in the Most Holy Place, fulfilling the 2,300-year and 2,520-year prophecies. Gabriel's role. Gabriel, under Palmoni's command, helps Daniel understand the Mara vision, focusing on the appearance of 1844. Indignations as time prophecies. The first indignation ends in 1798, while the last indignation concludes in 1844. Both representing time prophecies. Significance of the Chazon and Mara visions. Understanding both visions is essential to grasp the complete prophetic message. The role of Michael. Michael the Archangel, identified as Christ, commands the angels, resurrects the dead, and announces the end of probation. Unity and understanding. The article emphasizes the importance of remaining open to learning and unlearning, seeking unity and understanding God's Word. That certain saint which spake in Daniel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, is Christ as Palmoni. In the Book of Revelation, Christ is identified as Alpha and Omega, which among other wonderful truths, identifies Christ as the wonderful linguist. And together the books of Daniel and Revelation represent Christ as the master of time and language. It is beyond human ability to understand the significance and depth of what it means that Christ, as Palmoni, the number of secrets, introduces that attribute of his character in the two verses that establish the central pillar of Adventism, but the secrets which the number of secrets chooses to reveal are our responsibility to recognize and defend. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 29:29. A secret that has been revealed is that the numberer of secrets, Palmoni, is that certain saint which spake, and in the two verses where he reveals himself, the central pillar of Adventism, is identified. In those two verses, the wonderful numberer identifies the increase of knowledge that he, as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, unsealed in 1798. In those two verses, the jewels of Miller's dream that represent the increase of knowledge were, by the direction of Palmoni's hand, published upon the two tables of Habakkuk. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel 8:13-14. After Daniel received the prophetic vision of the kingdoms of Bible prophecy and then heard the heavenly dialogue in verses 13 and 14, he sought to understand the vision. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Daniel 8:15-16. The vision which Daniel is seeking to understand is the Chazon vision, but the Mara vision is what Gabriel is told to make Daniel understand. Every fact has its bearing, and if this fact is missed, the structure and design of the passage is essentially destroyed. In verse 15, when Daniel seeks to understand the Chazon vision, the Mara is hidden but still represented, for with the appearance of a man, Gabriel, the Hebrew word Mara is translated as appearance. In verse 15, both words which have been translated as vision are represented. Daniel, in verse 15, seeks to understand the Chazon, but Palmoni commands Gabriel, in verse 16, to make Daniel understand the Mara. The design of these two verses is purposeful and emphasizes the connection and difference between the two words. It is Palmoni that commands Gabriel to make Daniel understand the Mara, for the one that commands Gabriel is the one who stands upon the water, and Gabriel heard his voice, a man's voice between the banks of Ulai. It is the Ulai River that runs between the banks, and it is Christ who stands upon the water in the scriptures. Accompanied with that fact is the fact that Christ, as the archangel, is the one who commands the angels. The voice between the banks is the voice of that certain saint in verse 13, and it is his word that commands Gabriel to make Daniel understand the Mara vision. In chapter 12 of Daniel, Christ once again is between the banks of the river. In chapter 12, he is clothed in linen and swears by him that liveth forever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and an half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12:4-7. The man who was clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, and he is the same man who in chapter 8 commanded Gabriel. In Revelation chapter 10, Christ also held up his hand and swore by him who lives forever, but there he is standing upon both the water and the earth. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Revelation 10:5-6. The mighty angel of chapter 10 of Revelation is Palmoni, who spake to Gabriel from between the banks of the river in chapter 8, and identified when the end of the wonders would occur in chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 10, he is the one who roared as a lion, for he is there represented as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Revelation 5:5-7. As the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ is the lamb that prevailed to unseal the book that was sealed with seven seals. Whether he is walking upon the water in the book of Daniel, or has one foot on the sea and the other on the earth in Revelation, each of the prophetic representations are associated with prophetic time. And as the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ both seals up and unseals his word. As he sealed up the book of Daniel, he also sealed up the seven thunders in Revelation chapter 10. The mighty angel who instructed John was no less a personage than Jesus Christ. Setting his right foot on the sea and his left upon the dry land shows the part which he is acting in the closing scenes of the great controversy with Satan. This position denotes his supreme power and authority over the whole earth. The controversy had waxed stronger and more determined from age to age, and will continue to do so, to the concluding scenes when the masterly working of the powers of darkness shall reach their height. Satan, united with evil men, will deceive the whole world and the churches who receive not the love of the truth. But the mighty angel demands attention. He cries with a loud voice. He is to show the power and authority of his voice to those who have united with Satan to oppose the truth. After these seven thunders uttered their voices, the injunction comes to John as to Daniel in regard to the little book. Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered. These relate to future events which will be disclosed in their order. Daniel shall stand in his lot at the end of the days. John sees the little book unsealed. Then Daniel's prophecies have their proper place in the first, second, and third angels' messages to be given to the world. The unsealing of the little book was the message in relation to time. The books of Daniel and the Revelation are one. One is a prophecy, the other a revelation. One a book sealed, the other a book opened. John heard the mysteries which the thunders uttered, but he was commanded not to write them. The special light given to John, which was expressed in the seven thunders, was a delineation of events which would transpire under the first and second angels' messages. The Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, Volume 7, 971. Christ, represented as Palmoni, the man in chapters 8 and 12 who is upon the water, is also the mighty angel with the little book in his hand. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah that seals and unseals his word, and he is the one who commands Gabriel, for he is Michael the archangel. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Jude 1:9. Michael is Christ's name, and that name represents that he is the commander of not only the angels, but he is also the one who has the power to resurrect. The name Michael means, "Who is like God." When Nebuchadnezzar saw one like unto the Son of God in the furnace with the three worthies, he saw Michael. And the archangel Michael is also the prince of God's people, that the little horn of pagan Rome magnified themselves against at the cross in fulfillment of Daniel chapter 8, verse 11. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. Daniel 10:21. It is Michael who commands the angels, who resurrects the dead, and who decides when probation closes. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. When this time of trouble comes, every case is decided. There is no longer probation, no longer mercy for the impenitent. The seal of the living God is upon his people. This small remnant, unable to defend themselves in the deadly conflict with the powers of earth that are marshaled by the dragon host, make God their defense. The decree has been passed by the highest earthly authority that they shall worship the beast and receive his mark under pain of persecution and death. May God help his people now, for what can they then do in such a fearful conflict without his assistance? Testimonies, Volume 5, 212. The final secret which the Lion of the Tribe of Judah unseals is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it includes that he is in control of the design and structure of every element of his prophetic word. The man in linen that stands upon the waters, who lifts up his hand and swears by him that liveth forever, and who cries as a lion, which causes seven thunders to utter their voices, is he who seals up the book of Daniel and seals up the seven thunders of Revelation. It is he who unseals the book that is sealed with seven seals, who has the power to resurrect, and who is the great prince that stands up and announces the end of probation. When Palmoni commanded Gabriel to make Daniel to understand the Mara vision, he meant exactly that. He did not command Gabriel to make Daniel understand the Chazon vision. The Chazon vision is the vision of the kingdoms of Bible prophecy in Daniel chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, and it is also the vision that is referenced in verse 13, within a question of duration. How long shall be the vision? The Chazon vision concerns the daily, paganism, and the transgression, papalism, desolating powers that trample down the sanctuary and host. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Daniel 8:13. Christ, as Palmoni, the wonderful numberer, is asked how long shall be the chazon vision, and he answers, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel then desires to understand the chazon vision, which concerns the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. But Gabriel is commanded to make Daniel understand the Mara vision. Every fact has its bearing in God's word. The Mara vision is the vision of the evening and mornings identified in verse 26, and the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Daniel 8:26. The word vision is mentioned twice in the verse. The first reference is the Mara vision, and the second is the chazon vision. The Mara vision is the vision of the evening and mornings. The Hebrew expression of evening and mornings is often found in the Bible, and it is always translated as evening and mornings, as it is in verse 26. The only place in the Bible where it is translated differently than evening and mornings is in verse 14, where it is translated as simply days. The actual Hebrew of verse 14 would read, unto 2,300 evenings and mornings. The verse that is the central pillar of Adventism is the only verse in God's Word where evening and mornings is expressed simply as days. Every fact has its bearing, and if nothing else, it is clear that Palmoni was purposely emphasizing the verse. He did so by directing the minds of those who translated the King James Bible to write the phrase differently than it is always written in his Word. The point that is to be derived from this fact is that when Gabriel is told to make Daniel understand the Mara vision, he is being told to make Daniel understand the vision of the appearance of 1844, and not the chazon vision concerning the trampling down the sanctuary and the host. The vision of the evening and mornings is about an appearance that occurs when the cleansing of the sanctuary began on October 22, 1844. The vision of the appearance of October 22, 1844 is not about the trampling down of the sanctuary, but of the cleansing of the sanctuary. Was there a prophetic appearance on that date? The coming of Christ as our high priest to the most holy place, for the cleansing of the sanctuary, brought to view in Daniel 8:14. The coming of the Son of Man to the Ancient of Days, as presented in Daniel 7:13, and the coming of the Lord to his temple, foretold by Malachi, are descriptions of the same event, and this is also represented by the coming of the bridegroom to the marriage, described by Christ in the parable of the 10 virgins of Matthew 25, the Great Controversy 4:26. Gabriel was instructed to make Daniel understand the prophetic appearance of Christ in his temple on October 22, 1844. For this reason, Gabriel gave Daniel a second witness to the date of October 22, 1844, for Gabriel led every Bible author that recorded some form of the biblical principle that identifies that truth is established upon the testimony of two. If Gabriel was to make Daniel understand October 22, 1844, he would need a second witness to establish the vision of the appearance. Gabriel begins his work by first addressing Daniel's desire to understand the chazon vision, and he does so by identifying that the chazon vision is the vision that concludes at the time of the end in 1798. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Daniel 8:16, 17. The vision in the previous verse, that is, at the time of the end, is the chazon vision, and the time of the end in the book of Daniel is 1798. This is the vision which Daniel had sought to understand, but it was not the vision Gabriel was told to make Daniel to understand. For that, Gabriel is going to provide a second witness. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. Daniel 8:17-19. Gabriel takes up his job assignment by informing Daniel to behold, which is informing Daniel to consider the next fact. The next fact is that the last indignation of the 2 7 times of Leviticus 26 ends in 1844. The last indignation is directly identified as a time prophecy, for it has a time appointed that it will end. The indignation must represent a period of time, for it has a time appointed for its ending. If the indignation was simply a point in time, it would not have an end. It would simply be the point when it took place. The indignation had an ending point that is marked, so it represents the end of a period of time. The period of time is represented as the last indignation. If there is a last, then there must be a first. The first indignation is identified in Daniel chapter 11, and there it is also a period of time, for the papacy was going to practice and prosper until the end of the indignation. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Daniel 11:35-36. In these two verses, the king that does according to his will and exalts himself is the subject. Verse 36 is the verse Paul paraphrases as he identifies the man of sin who is seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The persecution of the Dark Ages from the year 538 through to 1798 is identified in verse 35, and it continues until the time of the end, which was 1798, which was the time appointed. Verse 36 then identifies that the papacy would prosper till the indignation be accomplished. The verse identifies that the papacy prospered until 1798, at which point the first indignation had been accomplished. God's prophetic word had determined that the papacy would continue for 1260 years until 1798, which was the time of the end. The first indignation ended in 1798, and the last indignation ended in 1844. Both indignations are represented as periods of time, which had specific endings, thus identifying them both as time prophecies. Gabriel was commanded by Palmoni to make Daniel understand the appearance vision, Mara, of the evening and mornings, days, that identified October 22, 1844, and he did so by providing a second witness to that date. The Shazon vision of verse 13, which Daniel desired to understand, was the vision of the trampling down that ended at the time of the end in 1798. The Mara vision of verse 14 ended with the appearance of Christ in the most holy place on October 22, 1844, in fulfillment of the time prophecy of 2300 years, and also the fulfillment of the time prophecy of the 2520 years. Both of those time prophecies are represented upon Habakkuk's sacred tables, which Sister White identifies were directed by the hand of the Lord and should not be altered. We will continue this study in the next article. We have many lessons to learn and many, many to unlearn. God and heaven alone are infallible. Those who think that they will never have to give up a cherished view, never have occasion to change an opinion, will be disappointed. As long as we hold to our own ideas and opinions with determined persistency, we cannot have the unity for which Christ prayed. Review and Herald, July 26, 1892.